This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Today on the program, we're talking with novelist Jennifer Close. She was raised in Illinois, and her latest book, Marrying the Ketchups, is about a restaurant family in the Illinois village of Oak Park. That's coming up later this hour. But first, we are 27 days out from Illinois' primary election, which comes unusually late this year, on June 28th. But in fact, Election Day in Illinois really ought to be called Election Season, because people have already been voting. So far, as of this morning, the State Board of Elections reports that 12,199 ballots have been cast, including more than 3,800 by mail. Today, we're continuing our ongoing series of conversations about this year's primary by talking about the race for Illinois Secretary of State. Jesse White is retiring after a record-breaking 6 terms in office. 4 Democrats and 2 Republicans are campaigning to succeed him. Joining us to talk more about this is Jeremy Gorner, who covers state government for the Chicago Tribune. Jeremy, welcome to the 21st Show.
Happy to be here.
Also with us is longtime friend of the show and NPR Illinois Statehouse editor, Hannah Meisel. Hannah, welcome back to you as well.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Mackey.
Listeners, if you have a question about the Illinois Secretary of State's race, we want to hear from you. 800-222-9455, or a comment as well, 800-222-9455, or tweet us at 21st Show. So, Jeremy, I'm going to begin with a very straightforward question. What does the Illinois Secretary of State's office actually do?
They do a lot of things, Brian. Primarily, it's probably the one office, statewide office in Illinois that affects all average people like you and me. Primarily, if you want to get a driver's license, get a driver's license renewal, if you need to get a state ID, but they also do other things too. If you car registrations, anything to do with vehicle services. But also they do other things too, like they do organ donations. They have a small police force that investigates fraud. So they kind of do a wide range of things, but what they're best known for is basically if you want to get a driver's license or get a license renewal, they basically dictate all policy for motor vehicles in the state of Illinois.
Right, including if people are caught up with a drunken driving conviction and they need to, or even not convicted, I guess, and they need to go
right
through that process. There's managing the state capitol complex, state library, one of my favorites.
Right.
And just to be clear.
Yeah, they're the chief librarian, too. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And just to be clear, we do hear in a lot of the national conversations about secretaries of state being kind of crucial players in election administration, but that's not the case with the Illinois secretary, right?
Not really. I mean, with the motor voter registration, that it, really everything has to get approved by the State Board of Elections in Illinois. I mean, the Secretary of State doesn't really play too much of a role in that. I mean, they may look at, signatures or something from like a driver's license or whatever, when you go into to vote and compare it to a signature that you have on, at the Board of Elections. But that's really like very minimal compared to what other states do. But what you're seeing in this election is, in spite of all that, and especially with, the events of the past 2 years with Republicans on the national level really questioning the 2020 presidential election results, you're seeing in this election for Secretary of State, particularly in the Democratic primary, you're really hearing candidates like Alexi Janulis and Anna Valencia really talking up election rights and why that's important when in all actuality, the Secretary of State, like you said, in Illinois, plays a very minimal role when it comes to elections.
Yeah, no, not a household name like Brad Raffensperger out of Georgia, who became famous for I guess basically doing his job in the wake of the
Florida in the 2000 election.
Right. Catherine Harris. So before we move on to talking about the current candidates, Hannah, I think we should pause on the current office holder, Jesse White. Tell us a little bit about him. I mean, we have interns on this program who have lived their entire lives with only one Illinois Secretary of State.
Yeah, that's right. Like you mentioned at the top of the show, record-breaking 6 terms. This current term actually is kind of a bonus. I remember I was there when he told reporters at the state fair. Gosh, I believe it was maybe 2016. Do you remember which year? But it doesn't matter.
They all blend together.
Truly. You know, that he was not going to run again in 2018, but then he changed his mind. You know, he did one last lap, but he is, you know, wildly popular. You know, he consistently wins the most votes of any, you know, statewide candidate. Certainly, you know, Democrats winning downstate is kind of a thing of yore. But for Jesse White, it is, you know, he like I said, just wildly popular. And I think a lot of that is just due to, you know, one, yes, DMVs, you know, which they're not technically called in Illinois, but they're not a very fun place to go to. But I think everything else that he's done with the office, both in and outside of the office, kind of just reflects back on him. And I think, you know, he's going to be 88 this month. He's had a wide, you know, wide ranging career, not just in politics, but, you know, he's been involved in Illinois politics since the mid 70s when he was first elected to the Illinois House. You know, before that, he had spent 33 years as a teacher and administrator within Chicago Public Schools. You know, he was a paratrooper in the 101st Airborne Division in the Korean War. And right after he got out of the Army in 1959, which I honestly, you know, I couldn't believe it when I read it when I was prepping for the show. 1959 is when he founded those Jesse White Tumblers, which, you know, is a, I mean, I'm sure that a lot of your audience is familiar, but if you're not, it's just kind of this incredible program where, you know, young folks throughout the, you know, Chicago, you know, are recruited to kind of learn these amazing acrobatic tricks, mm-hmm. and they perform, especially during the summers, but all over. And you know, it's just a hell of a show. It's really fun.
Yeah. You can usually see him at the state fair as well. So, all right. So I'm going to just take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Hannah Meisel, from NPR Illinois, and Jeremy Gorner of the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about the race for Illinois Secretary of State. As we've been saying, Jesse White on his way out. I think we can't undersell the fact that most adults in Illinois carry, his name on a little card in their pockets. I just looked and it is still there, even though a lot of public official names have been taken off other things around the state. But I don't think we're expecting people in the future to be able to sort of drum up the kind of margins he did, you know, winning every single county in the state in 2002 and large landslides since then. So let's talk about some of the people who do want to succeed him. And we need to move kind of quickly through some. Jeremy, let's start with an overview of the candidates, and maybe we can go in ballot order. So let's begin with, who is Alexi Giannoulias?
Alexi Giannoulias is the former state treasurer. He was initially put into office. He was elected in 2006. He had the backing of then U.S. Senator Barack Obama. You know, really, you know, Giannoulias has been touting his credentials as being Obama's basketball buddy, if you will. He said that in one of his ads. The thing is that even when he was running for state office back then, he was dogged and has continued to be dogged in this campaign, you know, 12 years, more than 10 years later, basically, by controversial loans that the bank that he worked for had sent out to crime figures when he was working for his family's bank, Broadway Bank, on the north side of Chicago. This has been kind of, you know, whenever he's run for office, this has been something that his opponents have brought up as a controversy. In 2010, he ran for Senate, trying to acquire Obama's Senate seat when he became president, and lost that election to Mark Kirk, who used the Broadway Bank controversy against Giannoulias. And now we're seeing 12 years later, Anna Valencia, one of his opponents in the Democratic race, has been using that against Giannoulias. You know, and it's a convenient criticism, obviously, because Giannoulias hasn't really been in the public eye since he stopped being state treasurer in 2011. You know, he's basically pushed for, you know, he and the other candidates have all pushed for modernizing the office in some way, shape, or form. Like, Giannoulias wants to, you know, wants to push for more online services. He wants to, have stronger ethics with the Inspector General's office and so on and so forth in the Secretary of State's office. Mm-hmm. All the other candidates kind of have similar missions, but that's kind of like what he wants to do, you know.
My favorite stat in this realm is that it's just within the last year that the office changed its official website from cyberdriveillinois.com to ilsos.gov or something along those lines.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So, and
speaks, I think, to the cyber futurism of the office until recently. What about Anna Valencia? You mentioned her name. Who's she?
Anna Valencia is the Chicago City Clerk. She's been the Chicago City Clerk since 2017. Before that, she was then Mayor Rahm Emanuel's legislative liaison. A legislative liaison for Rahm Emanuel. But since then, she's been city clerk and, you know, she's been kind of dogged by some controversy of her own. There have been some emails and text messages that have surfaced in the media questioning whether her husband's lobbying practice has meddled with her role as city clerk. There's many emails that are out there where, you know, emails from her city clerk account that her husband is copied on, which, you know, may suggest to some that there's some synergy between his business and her role as city clerk. These are allegations that she has flatly denied. Nonetheless, the Janulia's campaign has really pounced on her for this. As part of the kind of back and forth, the back and forth rhetoric between Janulia's and Valencia, where basically each candidate is questioning each other's ethics. Valencia going after Janulia's for the Broadway Bank controversy, and Janulia's going after Valencia for these suspicions of the lobbying meddling, you know. So
I guess we shouldn't be surprised that they're not necessarily campaigning on who has the best like program for online driver's license renewals or something like that.
Right. Right. I will say though, what Valencia has really tried to push is, you know, she's in charge of Chicago's City Key program, which is a municipal ID program, which is there for underserved communities, particularly undocumented immigrants who basically can use this ID as a library card, as a Chicago Transit Authority venture card, a prescription card. And she wants to somehow carry that over to the Secretary of State's office, since obviously the Secretary of State deals with driver's license and IDs and so on and so forth.
Sure. Briefly, I got my eye on the clock here. David Moore, Sydney Moore, do we want to talk about
David Moore? Yeah. David Moore is the third main candidate in this race. He is a second term Chicago alderman on the South Side, represents the Auburn, Gresham and West Englewood neighborhoods. He's kind of known to go against the grain on a lot of issues in the Chicago City Council. For instance, he was the lone no vote for funding for the Obama Presidential Library. And his rationale for that is because he had been trying to secure funding to repair streets in his ward. And he's basically, you know, saying that, well, has said, well, if the city isn't going to give me money to prepare streets and curbs in my ward, I'm not going to fund this presidential center. This is just one of other high profile votes where he's voted no. So he's kind of like an outlier, kind of going against the grain. He's a member of the Progressive Caucus in the city council, which, you know, would often vote against Emanuel administration initiatives. And so he's running for Secretary of State because he feels that because the role of an alderman is so constituent based, that's how he sees the Secretary of State, as being a nonpartisan constituent based office. That provides customer service. And that's kind of what his MO is in running for the office.
And then briefly, Sydney Moore.
Sydney Moore really hasn't been too much of a factor in this race that we've seen. He's from Homewood, hasn't really raised a lot of money as far as we can tell, in this race. And he hasn't participated in any of the debates that we have seen.
All right. But still name on the ballot. So that's
right.
People will consider. All right. Hannah, let's carry this over into the next segment a little bit. We're going to talk about the Republican candidates, who are Dan Brady and John Millhiser. Listeners, if you have any last minute questions you get in before in this conversation, 800-222-9455. We're going to continue for a few minutes after the break talking about the candidates for Illinois Secretary of State. Then we're going to turn to Jennifer Close, who's the author of the new novel, Marrying the Ketchups. That's all coming up after a short break. You're listening to The 21st Show. Stay with us. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the race for Illinois Secretary of State to succeed the record-setting Jesse White, who is completing his sixth term and not seeking re-election. We're talking with Jeremy Gorner, who covers state government for the Chicago Tribune, and Hannah Meisel, State House Editor for NPR Illinois. Hannah, let's talk about the Republican candidates. And again, I'll go in ballot order. Who's Dan Brady?
Sure. Dan Brady is a longtime Republican state representative to the General Assembly. He's been serving since 2001. He's definitely, by now he is one of the most senior serving members, especially of the Republican party in the state legislature. He's got, I guess you could say, kind of an unusual background for a politician. He was a funeral home director by trade, and then got himself elected to the McLean County Coroner's Office, I think in the 90s, and, kind of parlayed that into state government. He's I guess you could say more of a moderate. I think maybe just a function of having served so long and the Republican Party shifting around him, and also just, the being in the nitty-gritty of state government for that long and, being interested in constituent services as he is not, I wouldn't call him much of an ideologue. And then on the other side, I guess not the other side, but the other Republican vying for the party's nomination is John Millhiser.
And I guess I should just add, I don't know that anyone cares about this, but full disclosure, I was once on a jury where John Millhiser was the lead prosecutor. This is when he was Sangamon County State's attorney. So in the interest of transparency, I thought I'd mention that.
I'm glad that you did. This is John Millhiser. Most recently was the U.S. attorney for the Central District. He was nominated by President Trump in 2018, began serving in 2019. So served 2 years, the back 2 years of the Trump presidency, and then resigned, obviously, just as many other Trump appointees did, just like every other presidential term at the beginning of the Biden presidency last year. But, John Millhiser, he's had a long career, like you said, as a prosecutor. I've heard him described many times as kind of a Boy Scout. But he is part of this quote unquote slate of statewide candidates that includes at the top of the ticket, Richard Irvin, the mayor of Aurora, who is, vying for the governorship. And, these other, there's these six candidates who are basically working in concert and being funded by Ken Griffin, one of the richest men in Illinois, the Citadel Securities founder. Definitely very interested in conservative politics. And you know, all of them, all six of them have kind of made, they're kind of coalescing around these messages of law and order and, you know, ending corruption. You know, I guess it's not much of a surprise. The folks who are running these campaigns in concert are the same folks who were behind Rauner 2014 and the state party in the Rod Blagojevich days. And so they have gotten, you know, good at this message about corruption. But it's interesting when you go to John Millizer's website, right there at the top, it says rebuild trust in our leaders. And then the issues, the first one, end the Madigan culture of corruption, referring to former longtime House Speaker Mike Madigan, who was, as of early March, under indictment, but who left state government last year. But
so once again, it sounds like not really campaigning on like a better way to get your license plate renewed or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think both you know, there are ideas out there and he's endorsed some of it. I think probably a lot of on the Democrat side, too, a lot of these folks would agree on common sense ways to modernize the office. You know, I'm sure that Republicans would not be as comfortable with things, you know, things being too easy or too accessible. You know, you don't just because of it, the conservative proclivity just to be wary of, you know, fakes and all that.
Sure,
but
sure.
Yeah, so it's been a very interesting campaign cycle, yeah. As you know, Brian, and always crave more nuance on the issues, but I'm not sure we're gonna get it.
No, definitely not. Jeremy, let me ask you, I guess, exit question maybe. You know, a relative of yours says, I don't know who to pick. I see these ads. What should people be thinking about when they're making this selection? I mean, I'm obviously not asking you to endorse a candidate, but how should people approach this, do you think?
I mean, so the thing about the thing that I think that the public needs to look at is, so let's look and see what some of these candidates have done in their campaign ads. Some of these candidates have made the Secretary of State's office seem like it's some sort of ideologically driven statewide office, like attorney general or governor, where voters tend to vote for attorney general or governor based on some of their ideologies, their stances on abortion rights, their stances on gun control, gun rights, et cetera. The Secretary of State is not like that. It's strictly customer service based. Who could provide the best services to get a driver's license, you know, to shorten the wait times while waiting in line? Who knows how to basically run the day-to-day operations of an office or better yet, a series of offices? And
yeah, 4,000 person company, right?
Basically. Yeah, 4,000 person company. Exactly. Because what we've seen is we've seen candidates who are running for this office say that they are pro-choice and really run heavily on that platform. And, so we've really seen a lot of that. So, and that's just one example of, you know, of what I'm talking about
right,
here. So it really, this is probably the one office where, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, it's really not going to come down to ideology. It's going to come down to look at the backgrounds of each candidate and look at who do you think is best suited based on their job experience to run an office like Secretary of State, given, you know, everything that I have mentioned about, what goes into that office, basically.
That is a great framework. I really appreciate that. Jeremy Gorner of the Chicago Tribune, Hannah Meisel with NPR Illinois. Thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.